This show furnished by City of Hope.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222. No questions too dumb, no questions too tough, no questions too embarrassing. 800-222-5222. And here's Dr. Chambers.
In the next hour, what would you do if you were the person that walked in and saw Prince in that elevator and he was dying from a drug overdose? What would you do if it was a family member or a friend? Also, risk versus reward. We're not very good at this in our everyday life. I've often heard people say, I'm terrified of flying. I'm terrified of going over the Atlantic in case the plane goes into the ocean and crashes. I mean, what would you do? Not much. But the chances of that plane going into the ocean, very slim. The chances of you having a crash with a couple of drinks on the 405 on the freeway, much higher. Most of us find it difficult to understand the risk versus reward in that scenario. This is especially true in medicine, and very especially true when it comes to things like osteoporosis. All that, lots more, your calls in the next hour. But first, yesterday, there was a bombshell. One of the greatest athletes of all time, Muhammad Ali, passed away. He appeared to have passed away from the complications of Parkinson's disease. Now, most of us of any age know who Ali was. The greatest athlete, the greatest boxer that ever lived, perhaps. Certainly up there with the top two or three of all time. I remember when I was a kid, I would watch him boxing. It was one of those rare times I was actually bonded with my dad. As a family, we watched Muhammad Ali box. My mother wouldn't look at it because it was too violent, didn't like it. She couldn't understand why we were watching it. There was a big deal made because at that time I lived in Ireland. He was coming to Europe and he had a fight against a British boxer called Henry Cooper. The British, as they are wont to do, had really built up Cooper as being this great boxer and perhaps he could maybe possibly knock out, take down Muhammad Ali. He didn't. Not by a long shot. The following day, I always remember there was a picture of Sir Henry Cooper on the front page of a tabloid and his face a mass of blood. I was a young kid, stuck with me. He never really boxed again, and my father explained it to me like this. He got a sickener in that fight, a sickener. He was so badly beaten up, he couldn't go on, couldn't go back to boxing. Ali was at the peak of his powers at that time. Boxing experts didn't understand what he was doing. He didn't sort of dodge the blow. He would lean his head back. They said that wasn't possible. Ali said, yes, it is. Let me show you. And he did. Time and time again. Then, of course, we had the whole Vietnam problem where he didn't want to serve in the American army and he became a Muslim. Didn't understand that. My concept of American culture was from movies. Didn't quite get what was happening. I understand it now, of course. And when he came back to boxing, it was different. He changed his style. It wasn't about dodging, weaving, and being quick on his feet. He now was going to absorb the punishment. In his first fight back against the legendary Joe Frazier, it was a grueling, grueling, grueling fight in 1971. It was nicknamed The Fight. Ali had one little kind of small fight before that with a guy called Jerry Quarry. And he demolished that guy very quickly. Nothing. In the Frazier fight, it was grueling. It was punishing. And this was the first time in Ali's career where he sustained pain, real damage. Frazier won that fight, not by a knockout, by a 15-0 decision, whatever it was. And then years later, we had the Thriller in Manila in 75. Again, a bruising fight. And this time, watching it, Ali was doing the rope-a-dope, where people thought, what is he doing? He's going to get killed. He just tucked the punishment. Blow after blow after blow. Until eventually he wore out his opponent, and then he won with a knockout. So, flash forward to 78, and Ali is still taking pain in the ring. still absorbing the punishment. And now we see a different Ali. Now we see a much different Ali. Now we see a man who's slurring his speech. His reflexes are slow. Now we have a problem. His doctors advised him to quit, told him that his boxing days were really over. There was a lot of speculation in the media by doctors that he had a traumatic encephalopathy, a form of brain damage, and they were saying it was traumatic encephalopathy, Parkinson's disease, whatever. His family resented this. They said, no, he doesn't have that. It's not brain damage from boxing. They said that he was diagnosed subsequently with Parkinson's disease and that he got it from exposure to pesticides and other toxins when he was training. Well, here's what we do know now in 2016. We know from football, we know from other sports, that the more blows to the head you get, the more damage you have. Fact. You can't sustain damage blow after blow, year after year, without getting brain damage. You could argue that the boxing, the brain damage that Muhammad Ali suffered made him worse. You could argue that it didn't cause his Parkinson's disease or that it did. Doesn't really matter. It's kind of academic at this point. 1 million Americans have Parkinson's disease. It's a tough disease. It's a nasty disease. It robs people of their dignity in very many ways. Other famous people with Parkinson's disease, Janet Reno, the Attorney General under President Clinton. A lot of people were mocking her because when she was on TV, she never smiled, her face was bland, and always looked like she was extremely depressed. The problem in Parkinson's is you lose facial expression. You can't smile. You can't turn your face around. That whole magic of looking at someone's face is gone. The late, great Robin Williams had some Parkinson's disease. If you look at his last TV show, his expression, which everybody loved, which made him famous, his face didn't light up quite as much. He was in the early stages of Parkinson's. From the late 70s on, we saw Parkinson's progress in the great Muhammad Ali. And Parkinson's disease is a disease, an incurable, irreversible disease of your brain. It's when the dopamine centers, the nigra striata pathway, is not functioning well. You lack dopamine. So what do we do in medicine? We give you dopamine hoping that that will make it better. And it does help. Definitely does help. The hallmarks of it are you can't move your face. Your limbs are stiff. So when you're walking, you have what's called a festinant gait. It's like you're kind of shuffling across. And then over the years, you get other problems. You can get some depression, naturally enough. And you get other muscles besides your arms and your legs affected, and you don't swallow as well. You don't swallow as well. Some of the food goes into your lungs, and you get recurrent pneumonias. And I suspect that's what was happening to Muhammad Ali. That he was getting these respiratory infections. So Muhammad Ali affected not just Americans. Obviously, I was in Ireland. I was a kid, and he had a big effect on me. He affected tens of millions of people all over the world. His talent was such that he said, I don't have to be who you want me to be. I'm free to be who I want. What a phrase. And his talent allowed him to do that. He rose above being an American. He was a world citizen in very many ways. It was tragic to see him deteriorate over the years from Parkinson's disease. And I remember as he started to go down in the late 70s and people were always speculating, why? Was it the boxing? Was it not? And talking to my mother, who always hated boxing, she said to me, well, it stands to reason that if somebody is beating you across the head constantly, that you're going to have some kind of brain damage. And when I was younger, when Ali was in his heyday and I wasn't a very tough kid and I wanted to toughen myself up, I thought I should take boxing up. Now, let me just put this in perspective for you. I've probably been in 3 fist fights in my entire life, lost all 10 of them, useless. I thought, hey, this will be good. This might toughen me up. And my mother said to me, how many doctors' sons box do you think? Why do you think it's only poor kids who are trying to escape from poverty? And I looked at her. It's because it really will mess up your brain. Not a good idea. part of what we ask of boxers, part of what we ask of professional footballers in the United States is to take this risk. To take this risk and entertain us. To take this risk and perhaps have permanent brain damage. Most of us owe a lot to Muhammad Ali, as we owe to all the other athletes that inspire us and entertain us. But sometimes we're going to have to sit back and say to ourselves, is this really what we want out of society, for people to sacrifice themselves like this? 800-222-5222 if you want to join the conversation. That's 800-222-5222. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, too tough, or too embarrassing. And it doesn't have to be about what I'm talking about. It can be whatever is on your mind about your health. Now, tomorrow, June 5th, is National Cancer Survivor Day. And we're celebrating all the people who had cancer and lived. And cancer is a generic term. It affects people in very many different ways. There are very easy to treat cancers, and then there are the devastating ones where there's not very much treatment. So tomorrow we want to salute and we want to acknowledge there's a lot of people out there who have survived and beaten cancer. But I bring this up because I want to mention this one thing. Sometimes when you get a diagnosis of cancer, it doesn't mean it's going to kill you. A diagnosis of cancer doesn't necessarily mean your life is going to be shorter. And you always have to ask yourself, how will this cancer affect me as an individual? Prostate cancer is a classic example. Sometimes some of these cancers are so slow growing that they don't need treatment, that you don't need to intervene, that you don't need radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery. You just need to wait and see. It's called the wait and see approach. And I'm happy to say today that we begin to understand this better, and we've been advising a lot of men over the last 10 years, hey, you don't need aggressive treatment, just take a step back and see. And like with any cancer diagnosis, what do you need to do? You always need to go and get a second opinion. You always need to ask yourself, what happens if I get this therapy? What happens if I don't get this therapy? What are my alternatives to aggressive therapy? What are my alternatives to not being so aggressive, just maybe palliating? These are complex questions which you must have. And when you go to these doctor visits, they're very emotional. So I always suggest, write down your questions beforehand. Bring somebody with you. Somebody not emotional. You don't need a drama queen in there with you. Need somebody who's going to listen, take down the answers to the questions, or ask your questions for you. When I come back, I want to talk about risk versus reward. How risky is it to have a couple of drinks and drive on the 405 or fly across the Atlantic? And how that relates to our medical decisions. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Dr. Chambers on Call. Stay tuned.
Dr. Stephen Rosen on cancer and City of Hope.
We're in the forefront of care. We have the talent, and then we have all of the options that may allow us to control a cancer that in other places, physicians may say, I'm sorry, we've reached the limit of what we can accomplish. We're actually able to formulate drugs, to develop the clinical trials, and then actually take it to patients. The research goes from the laboratory to the clinic and from the clinic to the laboratory, and we're all involved as a team. It is truly unique to City of Hope. There are very few institutions that have the capability of taking a discovery and bringing it all the way to the treatment of an individual.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Join Jillian Barbary, John Phillips, and Mike Catherwood Saturday, June 11th from 10 to 4 at SPCA LA's P.D. Pitchford Companion Animal Village in Long Beach for KABC's Pet Adoption Day. There will be hundreds of adorable puppies, kittens, cats, and dogs all looking for a new home. Each adoption includes initial vaccination, spaying or neutering, a free vet exam, microchip, and goodie bag for your new pet. For more info, visit KABC.com. Sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive up, drive in, drive out in about 15 minutes or less.
Dr. Stephen Foreman on cancer and City of Hope.
So the exciting work we're doing right now has to do with how to use the immune system to treat cancer. And that therapy is being used for diseases that, who would have guessed? Melanoma, lung cancer, leukemia, lymphoma. And in our program, we're trying to extend this to many other diseases, prostate, pancreas, breast, ovary, cervix, brain, to make not just surgery, radiation chemotherapy part of what people get, but maybe immune therapy is part of their therapy and maybe the only therapy they get. And I think that is the new frontier for us, and it addresses the patient's question, what can my immune system do to help get me well? And we're saying, you know, we think you're right, and we think we have some things that will hopefully be good for you.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Live and local.
1090
KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 if you want to join the conversation or ask me a medical question. I'm an acute care physician. I see everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks in people just exactly like you every single day. It's what I do. 800-222-5222. Now, one of the things that always strikes me in my practice is this. People don't get risk versus reward. They always say to me, well, what are the side effects? What happens if I don't take it? What happens if I do take it? And I tell everybody, look, it's really simple. No matter what you put into your body, guess what? You're going to have side effects. Drink too much water, you're going to have to go to the restroom more often. Fact. Can't get away from that. That's the way it goes. I remember one patient said to me, why am I signing this consent form for surgery? Is this just a CYA for you and your colleagues? And I said, no. Here's the thing. It's risk versus reward. If the surgeon does everything right, the anesthetist does everything right, and I did everything right as an ICU doctor post-op for you, things can still go wrong. Things can go horribly wrong. Things can go awfully wrong. So you need to understand that. And that's the idea of this form, so that you understand it. Okay. So recently I saw this article, and it was about osteoporosis, bone thinning. Now, bone thinning is a big problem, especially in women, Caucasian and Asian women. If you're a woman and you're 50 years of age, the chances of you getting an osteoporosis-related fracture in the rest of your life is 1 in 2. Half of the women who are 50, as they age, will get a fracture related to thin bones. Now remember, bones are living parts of your body. They're not dead. They're living. Bone is broken down on a daily basis and more bone is remade. And what you hope, of course, is that one side keeps up with the other. If you don't make enough bone, don't have enough reserve, your bones get thin. When they get thin, you could have a fracture, and the fracture usually affects your vertebrae, that's in your back, the bones in your back, or your hip. This is a big deal. When you get too many of those fractures in your back, what happens is, apart from the pain, of course, you get smaller in height, you can't breathe as well, your heart can't pump the blood as well. If you break a hip, you can go from being an older person, mobile, doing what you want, living the life that you want, to somebody who's grabbing onto a walker or ends up at a nursing home. So it's a big deal. The risk is real. The risk is big. But yet what we found over the last 5 to 7 years is this. 90% of people who are recommended to go on drugs that will prevent osteoporosis won't do it. 90%, 9 out of 10 won't do it because they're afraid. They've heard about these really rare complications of these medicines. And they say, oh my God, if that happens to me, I'm gone. It's a disaster. It's awful. I won't take this medicine. And the two rare complications are a spontaneous fracture of your thigh bone, the femur, the big bone in your thigh here, and a very rare complication in your jaw. Now, to put it in perspective for you, we have to treat 50 people before we prevent one fracture. 50 people. But I would have to treat 40,000 people before we would see one of these rare complications. But yet, with all the media hype, with all the social media, with all the rest of it out there, people have become scared and don't understand the risk. And the risk is serious. It's kind of like when you say to yourself, oh my God, if I'm flying across the Atlantic. I remember once when I was living in Canada, we were flying over the North Pole to get to Europe. And I said to myself, wow, if this plane went down now, it's just over. It's gone. And that kind of little moment scared me. But I realized that planes from Canada went over there so many times and nothing was going to happen. Got to put it in perspective. And people find that hard to do. So if you think you're at risk for osteoporosis, if you think it's possible, if you're a female, 50 and older, you're Caucasian, you're Asian, there's a family history of it, one of your parents broke their hips, you're a smoker, drink a lot of alcohol, if you think you're in the risk group, you need to get tested. And if necessary, you need to go on the medication. Let me take a call. Hi, David.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. I appreciate you being there. Listen, you were talking earlier about the prostate. I guess your man there told you. I'm 82, and I have an elevated 12. It started around, four, above four, and now it's 12. And the doc wants to do a biopsy, number one, has also suggested radiation, number two, and also suggested some drug to be on for 5 or 6 months, and then the radiation for 5 weeks.
Okay, David, one sec.
I'm strong and healthy, and everything is working.
That's good.
I had green light laser surgery from this fellow 4 years ago, so part of the prostate has already been removed because of it was enlarged. And
sure, David, one second.
Peeing.
Okay,
well,
Dave.
Go ahead. Dave, I'm listening.
We've got to bring this into perspective for all of our listeners out there so you can understand what we're talking
about.
Sure. What David is saying is this. He has a prostate problem, and his blood test, the PSA test, the prostate-specific antigen level, is high. When that's high, it's an indicator that there might be a cancer. Now, regular listeners to this show and of my go to my website, drchambersoncall.com, you know I'm not a big PSA fan. Not a big fan at all. In fact, the guy who developed PSA has come out against it and says it doesn't really work. And why doesn't it work? It was identifying too many people who possibly could, maybe might have prostate cancer. And as a result of that, we end up biopsying a lot of people and giving them unnecessary therapy. Now, there are exceptions to that. African-American men are at high risk, especially if they have a strong family history of prostate cancer. If you already have prostate cancer and you want to follow to see if it recurs, PSA is good in those circumstances. So as a screening test, and if you're over 40 is what they were advocating it, I don't recommend it. I don't get it myself. David is a slightly different problem. He has two issues. One, pretty much every man in the world, as they age, their prostate will get bigger. And most of us, as we age, will end up requiring some kind of help. The laser treatment that David had is probably state-of-the-art because it removes the extra tissue and you don't get most of the side effects. Because when you operate on your prostate, guess what? You can end up incontinent, where you pee yourself, you don't realize it. You can end up impotent, where you can't get an erection. That's why David was very careful to say everything is functioning there. Because we men, no matter what age we are, we want it all to function down there. And that ties into a story I'll be doing in the fourth segment of my show today about penile transplants that the military are doing. Very, very important and something that you should know about. Anyhow, now let's go back to David. So, David, you had
What is your website?
It's drchambersoncall.com, David. But just one second. So you had your PSA elevated up to 12, you said?
4 years ago, after the green light laser surgery, it was in the 6 or 7 area. And then over the years, I've been going in every 6 months for a PSA test, and it's increased, gone up, and now it's 12, and he wants to do a biopsy, and then recommending these other things. I'm little, of course, more than just exactly what you were saying on the program. And the other thing is that these doctors, I haven't been able to even, I've gone to 4 different urologists, they're not warm. I mean, they're very difficult to. You know
yeah,
what I'm talking
I know
about.
Lots of
they're
urologists.
Very difficult to communicate with.
I got okay? it, Dave. Yeah, I know
okay.
them. Dave, this is a great call, and I do appreciate it. So here's what I want you to do: is you got to get the slides of the biopsies, right? And then you go back to a major center, like you could go to City of Hope. Now, full disclosure: City of Hope is a sponsor of this show. Show them the slides and say to them, do I have to have treatment for this? Or in view of my age, can I just wait and see what happens? Now, David, I can't tell you the answer to that because I don't know the slides. Don't know a thing called the Gleason, G-L-E-A-S-O-N score. All of that is important. But I wouldn't consent to this, David, unless I got an expert from somewhere like City of Hope or Cedars and let them look at it and go, what is it? Now, you need to tell them, David, that if you're willing, if this is one of those cancers you could just watch and wait, you're willing to do that rather than risk the complications like incontinence or not being able to get an erection. You got to tell them that. And what we have found in looking at this, David, is that female urologists and younger urologists tend to be more empathic to that than some of the older ones. And I agree with you that sometimes some of these docs are very quick, get to the point because they do it every day. But for you, David, it's not every day. And for everybody listening to me, when you have a cancer like this, if you have a problem, get the slides, get a second opinion, and get a third opinion if you're not happy. But as always with this, get permission from your insurance company. Otherwise, you could end up with a big problem. Thanks, David. I've got to fly. When I come back, let's talk about Alzheimer's. And picture this, a spider's web and a fly gets caught in it. How that explains Alzheimer's. Intriguing, brilliant stuff from Harvard. When I come back, and of course, more of your calls. 800-222-5222 is the number to call. You want to join the conversation or you have a question. 800-222-5222. This is Dr. Chambers on call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Stay tuned for the second half of Dr. Chambers on call.
Attention, all timeshare owners. Were you a victim of a high-pressure or dishonest timeshare sales agent? Were you confused with what you were buying or didn't provide what you were promised? Do you feel that you overpaid for your timeshare, can't afford it, or do you simply not use it anymore and just want out? If you answered yes to any of these questions, we can help. We're Timeshare Compliance, and every day we help hundreds of timeshare victims protect their rights. Our team can legally terminate your timeshare agreement, ending the payments forever, saving you thousands. In some cases, we can even get you a refund of the fees you previously paid. But you must act now. Call 800-811-7670 or visit timesharecompliance.com for a free consultation. We can help you save thousands, but only if you call 800-811-7670 or visit timesharecompliance.com for an absolutely free consultation. That's 800-811-7670 or timesharecompliance.com.
At City of Hope, we're coming at cancer in ways cancer doesn't see coming. Every day, just outside Los Angeles, this renowned research hospital is pioneering some of the most significant cancer breakthroughs of our time. From teaching T cells to destroy cancer, to developing the technology behind four of the world's most widely used cancer drugs, City of Hope creates scientific miracles that make lives whole again. Here, doctors and scientists work to turn laboratory innovations into treatments that outsmart cancer. But it is not enough just to heal the body. We also care for the individual, to help you re-become the person you were before cancer. At City of Hope, we combine science with soul to create medical miracles. To find out how we're saving lives by outsmarting cancer, go to cityofhope.org.
Next on our program.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we're on the front door of Election Day. Is California going to feel the burn or are they with her?
And some people are going to be at the back door.
Who is it?
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I think that's Bill.
Are they going to feel the burn?
And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Chambers on Cult, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 is the number to call with whatever is on your mind, or you're worried about your family, you got a question, new med, old med, side effects, whatever it is. I'm an acute care physician. I treat everything from hemorrhoids to heart attacks. 800-222-5222. Now, I'm going to break one of my golden rules in this little segment, and it's this. I never like to talk on the radio or on my website, do podcasts or articles on miracles. My website, by the way, is drchambersoncall.com. I don't like doing it because until something gets back to clinical, to a guy like me that I can prescribe for you to make you better, I don't like talking about it. But Alzheimer's is a big problem, and there's tens of thousands of boomers passing 65 every day. And as we age, Alzheimer's gets more and more and more common. And we don't really know what causes it. And Harvard came out recently with this brilliant, absolutely genius theory. And I emphasize theory. Very well thought out, very well studied, but still a theory. And it's this. Picture a spider's web catching a fly. And then it's all trapped in there, wrapped up in the spider's web, and the spider moves in, gobbles it down, right? What they're thinking is this. The blood-brain barrier is like a wall, not a Donald Trump wall, an effective wall, a wall that keeps out bad things, not a stupid wall. It's the blood-brain barrier. And all the bugs, viruses, fungi, bacteria, find it really hard to get through that barrier. But as you age, like everything else, it doesn't work as well. And when bacteria or fungi viruses get into the brain, even if you don't know that you're sick, even if you don't know that you've got them in there, the body sends out like a spider's web, a cage, wraps up the bug, and then usually breaks it down and gets rid of it. For some people, for some reason, not fully understood, these little cages stay around, and they're called amyloid deposits. And they're especially in areas like the hippocampus, which has got to do with memory. Because remember what Alzheimer's is, a progressive, irreversible problem within the brain so that you don't think as well, your memory is poor, you can't find your way around, you don't reason things, you can't rationalize things. And it goes from being very mild when it first starts when you're in your 60s up to much more severe. And we all know the great President Ronald Reagan suffered from Alzheimer's. And we saw when he was in his faculties, he let the nation know through that wonderful letter that he had it. And then we saw his deterioration over the years. So if this is true, and they've shown it in mice, so the next step is to show it in humans. If this is true, that it is bugs breaking through a weakened blood-brain barrier, what do? Well, then we stop the bugs getting in. Or we give you medicine to break down these little cages. Now, speculation, I grant you. But it's so intriguing, it's so brilliant, I just had to share it with you. Because Alzheimer's is a huge problem for our society. 800-222-5222 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation. That's 800-222-5222. Now, the result of Prince's autopsy came out this week. And it was that he died of a self-administered fentanyl overdose. Now, fentanyl is a really powerful opiate. Really, really powerful. When I was in ICU as an intensivist, I used a lot of fentanyl and a lot of midazolam or Versed to sedate people so we could do procedures or put them on life support. But think about it. You're in an ICU setting. You have all that equipment. We put you on life support. We can put a tube into your lungs to keep you going. We have all of that at our disposal. You're shooting up in your private house. It's not there. So what would you do if you walked in and somebody was about to stop breathing? What do they look like? Well, people who are high in opiates, who are high in Norco or Oxy or fentanyl or any of these medications, they're kind of going like they're in and out. They're kind of like they're talking to you and then they're kind of wake up. You know when you're on the highway and you're really tired, you've been driving for a long time, you're starting to go in and out? It's like that, only more extreme. More extreme. And then as they head towards not breathing, this is what happens. It's kind of And then at that moment, you don't have that long to act. At that point, if you were the person that walked in on Prince in the elevator and he was still breathing or just had stopped breathing, what would you do? You call 911 as the first thing. And then, of course, you want to give him the antidote to opiate overdoses. The antidote. And the antidote is Narcan, right? Now, you're saying to yourself, what's he on about? I'm not a doctor. How could I do this? You don't have to be a doctor to do this. The fact is that we now have these Narcan kits all over the country. And with a prescription, you can buy one for yourself or your family. Why would you do that? Come on. Let's be honest here. We all know there's a huge opiate problem in the United States. We all know in every single state there's a problem. You know somebody in your family if they have a problem. You know they're going to different doctors. You know they're going to one of those pill mills to get their chronic pain meds because they're feeling bad all the time. You know it. Or if you're listening to me, maybe it's you. Let's be honest here. If somebody had stumbled upon Prince and given him the antidote, which they did, incidentally, remember when he was flying in and he had to make that emergency landing? He had probably overdosed there because the paramedics gave him this special medicine and he woke up. Narcan works. So what I want you to understand is this. If you know somebody or you have an opiate problem, this is what you should think of. What happens if I stop breathing? Get a Narcan kit. There's one called Evizio, E-V-Z-I-O, very expensive. It's about $400, way too expensive. Your insurance may cover some of it. Copay would only be about maybe $80. There's also a nasal form you can squirt into the nose. Whatever it is, you need to think about it. You need to buy it. Because if you do, when you walk in and see that person you love, or maybe you're the person with the drug problem and someone that you love walks in and finds you, they give you this and you come back to life that quickly. I remember when these drugs first came out and they were in hospitals and people didn't quite know the right dose and someone would stop breathing and we arrive, we'd save them, we'd get them back again. The satisfaction of seeing somebody live with just one shot is wonderful. But remember, if you discover something like that, first call 911. Secondly, give them the antidote. And the third thing to remember is the antidote doesn't last very long. So you still need to get 911 and you still need to go to the emergency room. Let me talk to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hello, hi.
What's going on?
Well, can you hear me okay? Because I have you on speaker.
I can hear you perfectly well.
Great. My brother is having a problem. It's really perplexing him, sir.
Sure.
He eats, and his lip swells. Very embarrassing when he has to go to work. It goes down within about 8 hours.
Okay, and what
I
does he eat?
I suggested to him.
Michael.
Yes, go on.
Go ahead. What kind of foods is he eating when this happens?
Well, of course, he's trying to narrow it down, but he just can't figure it out. You know, is it the tomatoes? Is it the gluten? Is it the flour?
Mm-hmm.
He just can't figure out what it is. Now, in pursuing a remedy, he's, you know, of course, we've looked online, and he's also considered going to an allergy test, which is kind of expensive. And I guess I'm asking, would an allergy test help? What do you think should be his next step in trying to figure this out?
Okay, so, Michael, you're telling me he hasn't seen a doctor about this?
Yes, he has, and they're all perplexed, or they say they don't know.
Okay. Is he taking medication for it, Michael?
No. However, we have started. He's started taking Benadryl types of things.
Sure.
And they were helpful. They were helpful, and now it seems that effect is waning as well.
Okay.
And he tells me that he's chewing these things like candy, doctor.
Okay. So, Michael, tell me, is he on medication for, say, blood pressure or other problems?
Yes, sir, he is. However, he stopped taking those medications just to see if he could pinpoint,
sure,
you know, what the issue is.
So did he stop taking
and
them?
It's still happening.
How many was he on, Michael? Do you know?
Yes, a blood pressure as well as a glucose, some type of glucose,
okay,
medicine as well.
All right. So this is not an uncommon problem, Michael. It's called angioneurotic edema. And usually what happens is the lips and stuff become swollen. Now, that's kind of scary for most of us because when the lips come swollen, the tongue can become swollen, and that can cause problems with breathing. So sometimes I see people coming into me, and the lips are all up there, and they've been like that for a day or two, and they think, oh, well, it was just my lips. But you got to be very careful. The next phase in this is the tongue. And what we would want to do, Michael, for your brother is this. We want to measure things called complements, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. He would want to have complement studies to see if he's deficient in this. These are inflammatory stuff. You don't need to understand that. But I would strongly suggest you go see an allergist, because the common causes of this are medications, especially some of the hypertensive medicines. That's why I was asking that. And then he would have the complement levels done to see if he's deficient in it. And then he needs to understand what would happen if the tongue starts swelling. What would he need to do? Steroids would be the answer, and maybe epinephrine. So this is quite a serious problem. It's not just a cosmetic one. He needs to figure out whether it's the medicines, the foods, or whatever it is. And then the last thing is the complements, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. That's a real must. An allergist, a highly trained allergist, will sit down, go through this with you. And if they don't figure it out, they'll at least figure out how you're going to manage it, because he has to manage it. 800-222-5222 was the number that Michael called me on. And you can call me with your problem or your question, or you want to join the conversation. When I come back, I want to talk about when a soldier wakes up from combat injuries. He's in Germany or whatever. He's had all this work done. What's the first question he asks his doctor? Not, have I lost my hand? Have I lost my leg? He asks this question when I come back. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Dr. Chambers on Call will continue answering more of your questions.
Dr. Yumin Fong on Cancer and City of Hope.
So the reason I came here as a surgeon is that I do robotic liver and pancreatic surgery. That's something actually fairly new. This was one of the very first places to embrace this technology. I'm also a gene therapist. What I do is I redesign nature's viruses to go and seek out cancer cells that are circulating in the body and go and hunt them down and kill them. And now there's a whole new field in science called gene editing. We're now able to go into cells and actually change the genes that are already there. We could go and repair genes that are bad. We can actually turn off genes that are trying to cause too much inflammation and cause damage. Some of the best scientists in the world right now working on those things are here.
City of Hope is a world leader in cancer research and treatment. Our doctors and scientists turn laboratory breakthroughs into treatments that outsmart cancer. Find out more at cityofhope.org. City of Hope, the miracle of science with soul.
Join Jillian Barbary, John Phillips, and Mike Catherwood Saturday, June 11th from 10 to 4 at SPCA LA's P.D. Pitchford Companion Animal Village in Long Beach for KABC's Pet Adoption Day. There will be hundreds of adorable puppies, kittens, cats, and dogs all looking for a new home. Each adoption includes initial vaccination, spaying or neutering, a free vet exam, microchip, and goodie bag for your new pet. For more info, visit KABC.com. Sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Drive up, drive in, drive out in about 15 minutes or less. Want to be a thousand-aire?
For $1,000, what's your lucky number guess?
I'm going to try number 88.
88! Congratulations! You won $1,000.
Oh, I am going to... That is fantastic.
The winning is so easy. You could be next. Listen all day, 6 to 6, for the cue to call. Guess the lucky number and win a grand in cash. 1,000 more reasons it really pays to listen to 790 KABC.
This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 if you want to ask a question. And remember, on this show, no questions too dumb, too tough, or too embarrassing. We can't even see your face. It's radio. 800-222-5222. Now, during the week when I'm not on the air here, my abode on the internet is drchambersoncall.com. On my website, you can catch my podcasts, my articles, and the medical minutes on stuff as diverse as computerized. I mean, listen to me, computerized. If you depend on a computer for work, or you're a gamer, or you think your life will be over if you're not connected to the internet for a nanosecond, you're at risk for computerized. Want to find out what it is and how to manage it? my website, drchambersoncall.com. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter. It's Dr. JC on Call, DRJC on Call. And I'm on Facebook. Of course, I'm on Facebook most days. It's Dr. Chambers on Call. If you go to Facebook, hit like, let me know you're around. You can comment on the show, suggest topics for the show, whatever it is on your mind, let me know through Facebook, or you can email me, drchambersoncall@gmail.com. That's drchambersoncall@gmail.com. Now, recently we had the first penis transplant in the United States. Not the first in the world, it was actually the third in the world. The first was in China, and ultimately the penis was taken off again because the man had psychological problems with it. He couldn't accept it. He couldn't accept the new organ. Think about it. Very personal part of your body. The second one was in South Africa, where a botched circumcision, don't know why he was having the circumcision, wouldn't recommend it, went wrong, and he had to give him a new penis. Fortunately, it's working well, and he has fathered a child. This week in the United States, Thomas Manning, a man in his 60s, had a penile transplant. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, like, this is not really that big a deal. It's not that important. And, you know, look at our society, look at our culture. There's always these penis jokes. There's always the smash in the testicle area when you want to create a laugh and a cheap comedy. I get all of that. But you know what the one thing American soldiers ask, American male soldiers ask, if they've been traumatized in combat when they wake up from surgery? Not is my leg still there. Not is my arm or my hand still there. Am I intact down there, doc? Is it all in there, doc? And I understand why. When I was a young man, and when I was in my 20s and I first saw Apocalypse Now, there's a scene in it where the soldiers get a ride in a helicopter. And when the newbies get on the helicopter, this guy's sitting on their helmets. This just looked really uncomfortable to me. And one of the newbies says to the guy in the helicopter, "What's the deal, man? Why are you sitting on your head? And he goes, "Oh, flak, if it gets up there, I don't want all my junk." You know what I mean? And the guy looks, his eyes roll. And within a nanosecond, the hat's off and he's sitting on it. And as a young guy in my 20s, yeah, I kind of understood that. Now, we've been at war for a long time. And between 01 and 2013, we've had almost 1,500 injuries among soldiers in this area. Now, think of what the area is. It's the penis, the testicles, and what we call the perineum. What you call in high school, the taint area. And these improvised explosive devices, the IEDs, they kind of hit soldiers in that area. In fact, some soldiers have a pact with their buddies, like, if this happens to me, can you help me out? Hopefully that won't happen to anybody. So the technical term for this is genitourinary injuries. And what a group in, I think it's Harvard is doing, or sorry, John Hopkins, is they're planning to transplant a penis onto a soldier who was injured in combat. Now, when I say transplant, I'm talking about the penis, not the testicles. And if they transplant the penis, they're hoping that it will work normally, that he'll be able to urinate normally, that he'll have an erection normally, and he'll be able to father children. Of course, because it's just the penis, not the testicles, the children will be his genetic children. They're not transplanting the testicles. That's a whole other problem. Okay? Now, when transgender people are going from female to male and they have a penis fashioned out of material, they can't achieve an erection unless they have an implant. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about soldiers or other people, like the man in the first transplant here, he had cancer. So we're talking about people who are traumatized, who no longer have a fully functioning penis. They have to have certain nerves intact, they have to have certain vessels intact, and part of the urethra, that's where urine comes out, that all has to be intact. It's a funny concept, transplanting a penis, because it's very personal, obviously. Most of us men, whether we're 20 or 60 or 80, define ourselves by that part of our body. Just like women, when they've had mastectomies, sometimes feel challenged, they feel they lost some of their femininity. Young men in combat or men with cancer will feel that too. So this is not a cosmetic thing. This is not something, let's just do it because we can do it. This is a real problem. This is something that we need to do to help our soldiers. And we need to tell these soldiers that if you're traumatized and you lose a limb, we'll get you the best prosthetic limb that is possible. And as years go by and they get better, we'll give you the new one. But we also want to tell those soldiers, if you get a peroneal injury, if that area of your body that you most prize is damaged, we will do the very best that modern medicine has to restore you to normal function. And I'm proud to say the doctors working this are doing that. Not only are they doing it from a surgical point of view, they've done it from the post-op, the long-term care. Because usually when you've got a new organ, this is what you have to do. You have to go into anti-rejection drugs. And there's three of them that we usually use. But they've worked it out for the penis transplants, they only have to use one drug. So there's less side effects, less long-term problems. So I think this is a great story. I think this is a step forward, a big step forward, not trivial, not cosmetic. And I hope this surgery is more and more successful. So in the unfortunate event that this happens to our soldiers, that we'll be able to fix it for them. 800-222-5222. A little bit earlier in the show, I was talking about risk versus reward. And I was saying that osteoporosis, bone thinning, is a devastating problem. Absolutely devastating. But because of these rare side effects, most people are opting not to get the medicine. And sometimes I find that a puzzle. Because a lot of patients come into me, or what I'm always asked at dinner parties and when I give talks to businesses or whatever, is this. Do I believe in homeopathy? Do I believe that giving herbs and plants will make my cancer go away, will make my glaucoma go away? And I go, no, I don't. And recently when I gave one of these talks, this very articulate millennial woman said to me, my grandmother has been using herbs and supplements all her life, and she's healthy, she's in her 90s. And I go, yeah. But that doesn't mean if she wasn't using them, she would be healthy and in her 90s. Doesn't mean that at all. And because the advertising, the labeling on it says natural, doesn't mean it doesn't have any side effects. It doesn't mean it's going to work. It doesn't mean anything. That's advertising. Advertising. And if you buy it in whole paycheck, otherwise known as Whole Foods, that doesn't mean it's going to work either. I had these wealthy people say to me not that long ago, I bought this special thing to put on my kid's rash from Whole Foods. I guess it should be working. And I look at them and go like, no. You don't need to do anything to the rash. Don't put stuff on rashes. It just makes it worse. You got to know what you're putting on a rash or you'll make it worse. So there was a recent convention on homeopathy in Europe. And apparently 500 doctors attended. And I'm looking at this going like, why? Every single study that has ever come out that has been science-based says this. Homeopathy doesn't work. That doesn't mean that you can't use it. That doesn't mean that it's not your right to use it. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't treat you as a patient if you use it. Of course I would. But know this. There's no evidence that it works. There's no evidence that even what you're buying is actually what you're buying. Because the studies that have looked at what's in the bottle quite frequently say it's not what's advertised. It's not what's on the label. Now, we live in a world where facts are facts. And people just move on and do whatever they want to do. And they understand that. But we're living in the age when doctors can do more now than ever in the history of mankind. We're now heading into what we call precision medicine. You come into my office, you've got a specific cancer. I look at you, I look at your genes and say, this is the best therapy. You know how I know that? We've studied it. And studying it doesn't make it bad. Studying it doesn't make it evil. And when I say homeopathy doesn't work because the science doesn't back it up, that doesn't mean that I'm an idiot. It doesn't mean that I'm against natural things. It's ridiculous. It doesn't work. But if you want to do it, hey, that's your privilege. It's okay. It really is. I'm in my final moments here. If you want to follow me during the week, my website is drchambersoncall.com. Facebook, of course, is Dr. Chambers on Call. You can always hit like if you swing by, comment on the show, make suggestions for the show. Don't forget Twitter at DRJCOnCall and catch my podcast. It goes up usually on a Monday. This is Dr. Chambers on Call, live and local on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The information in this show is intended for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a replacement or substitute for professional medical advice and or treatment. Consult with your own doctor for information and advice on your specific medical condition or questions.
This show furnished by City of Hope.